This is a CBC podcast.
People also rated Chihuahuas and then a Chinese Crested as the least attractive.
Oh, no. Ugliest. Hey, I'm Claire Bonnieman, and this is Edmonton, a local podcast from CBC News. Spring is in the air, and for some of us, this is prime time to get back out there. And by out there, of course, I mean dating apps. Because these days, it seems impossible to meet someone any other way. One Edmonton student has spent some time researching the apps and looked into a specific technique to get you noticed.
Hi, my name is Maron Demasilio. I was a first honor student at McEwen University.
How do you feel about dating apps?
Oh, interestingly, it's like I've had a lot of experience with it through other people. So it's really just about like how my friends have used it in the past. I mean, I have since used it then, but it's very fascinating because there's so many things that's happening and like there's so many things to pay attention to.
Maron was just hanging out, as all students do, when he came across a unique relationship. Kind of an academic meet-cute, if you will. And it sparked his interest in the way we view and use dogs on dating apps.
So I'm actually from Canmore, Alberta. And as you know, Canmore is kind of like a tourist town, right? So, and at the time, me and my roommate were going to move to Edmonton. And she just started getting into dating apps. And the dating pool in Canmore is much smaller compared to Edmonton,
obviously. I can imagine, yeah.
So when she got the chance to get into to move to Edmonton, that's when she actually, you know, wanted to give dating a shot, right? And at that point, there were times that she would ask me for my opinion, like, do you think this guy is cute? Is he a yes or a no? And that kind of became like a bonding thing between the two of us. So like it became like every single week we'd sit with each other, have some like food and drinks and stuff. And instead of like watching hockey, we're swiping right on like profiles, right? And then we kept doing that and we kept doing that throughout the weeks. And then through time, I kind of realized what her type was just because we kept doing it so much. And then I noticed there were some times that she would swipe right on someone when it didn't fit her actual type. So normally her type was kind of like this, like tall guys that are a little bit muscular and like blonde.
Okay.
But then she would swipe right on guys that are like shorter or brunette, like very like dissimilar from what she normally swipe right on. And then I also noticed that there were always when there's some sort of animal, specifically a dog, in the picture. So I asked her, like, you know, why are you swiping right on this person when they don't clearly fit your type? And she said this because the dog is just too cute. So I started asking other friends and other people. I was like, you know, do you guys use this? You know, have you done this before? Have you swiped right for the dog and not for the person? And the answer that I got was like an overwhelmingly yes. So I was like, wow, like if there's multiple people that are saying the same thing, you know, maybe this is actually a real thing in the real world.
What did your friend say when you said you were going to use her dating app experience to build a thesis?
She was kind of like very inspired. It's interesting because she's like, you know, she told me to like, you know, when am I going to get my credit? I kept telling her the friend, but I was like, a lot of these radio shows don't have time for me to say your name.
His friend Swiping Habits, whose name is Claudia, by the way, ended up sticking around in his brain. And when Maron entered the honors program at McEwen, he realized that this idea was a perfect fit for his studies. Working with Dr. Eric Legg, whose focus is on animal-to-human relationships, he started to look at the dogs themselves and how they might appear on the apps.
Because obviously there's a lot of dogs. There's variant breeds of dogs. And we kind of hypothesized that, you know, maybe the dog breed also matters, not just the person.
Okay.
So I did a pre-study where I showed people pictures of different kinds of dogs, kind of like stock photos. And I specifically focus on purebred dogs because it's hard to kind of standardize things when it's like mutts. So yeah. Because everything is a mixed, right? So I showed them a lot, multiple pictures of dogs, and then asked them to rate these dogs in on different kinds of attributes, like positive attributes, like aggressiveness, like ability, and also like attractiveness in general. And then once we had that data, we analyzed the data for a little bit, and then we just kind of like tiered them into a couple things. So, you know, what is the most attractive? What is the least attractive? What is the most aggressive? And then, so what we ended up finding from that pre-study was that people really find Labradors and Golden Retrievers as the most attractive, yep. Which made sense.
That tracks.
Because that's how it is. And then obviously people also rated Chihuahuas and then a Chinese Crested as the least attractive.
Oh, no.
The ugliest. And then, obviously, some of the dogs that are, like, you know, the more aggressive looking dogs, like Rottweilers and Pitbulls were rated as the most aggressive, but people also rated them as very attractive.
Okay.
So, based on that data, I recruited 12 models. 6 of them were men, 6 were women. And then we recruited 6 different dogs. We tried to show a lot of the variation. So we got 2 of the most attractive ones, which is a Labrador and a Golden Retriever. We recruited 2 uglier dogs based on the data, okay. Which was the Chinese Crested and a Chihuahua. And then we recruited some of the more aggressive looking dogs, such as the Pitbull.
By September of 2022, they had basically a dog show at McEwen. For 8 hours, the models took their turn one by one with each of the dogs and solo shots. And then it was time to build a dating app. Maron basically built a web version of Tinder or Bumble on a survey site. And users would be served a randomized set of photos to swipe through. Then to add another layer to his work, he built inclusivity into the research.
One thing that I realized that a lot of in relationship science tends to focus on heterosexual people. So it's always on cis heterosexual daters. And to me, it didn't make sense for me to show you a picture of a guy when you say that you're interested in women. So we actually had about 250 people who identified as heterosexual, 100 people were bisexual, and 100 people were part of other gender minority. So that was actually a pretty big subset, because you normally won't find that much participants from the 2S LGBTQ plus community. So that's so it's not just heterosexuals, is actually very representative in terms of gender spectrum.
Yeah.
So one thing that we extended from previous studies was that, you know, we asked them, what's your preference? Mm-hmm. Do you prefer to see pictures of men, women, or both? And based on your selection, we showed you the pictures that match what you wanted. Basically, it's like a set of 6 pictures. 2 of them had dogs. 4 of them had just pictures of people by themselves. And the order of presentation was randomized. And then we asked a couple of other questions. Just, you know, like, are you a dog person? Are you a cat person? Are you a both? We also asked them, you know, what's your purpose for using dating apps? Are you using it for friends? Are you using it for short term, long term?
So across the spectrum, when you had people swiping through these profiles, what did your results show you? Are dogs the key to getting swiped right?
Yeah. So what the interesting that we find is that, you know, we know from the literature that when we're looking for like dates or just potential mates, for example, people do really tend to focus a lot on the attractiveness of a person. That's one thing that catches that obviously, you know, visual is very good. It's like a very potent thing for people. It's the first thing you see. So that was true for our study, especially because, as I mentioned earlier, when you're like in this very limited time scenario, people will tend to make a very quick decision. And that tends to be based on the visual. So what we found was that, yeah, like regardless whether there's a dog present or not, people's attractiveness were still the highest predictor of whether they were going to get, you know, it led to more swipe rights than swipe lefts. So it didn't matter if there's a dog. However, if there is a dog present, we found a relationship, a negative relationship, where people that are not conventionally attractive having a dog present made you increase your odds of matching with other people. However, if you're already attractive, that didn't really help you and we didn't really find a relationship there.
Right.
So what that means is that people that are attractive don't really need help. Or they don't need extra help. You know, people will not really care for you if you're already attractive because they're just going to base their decision on that.
Right.
However, if you... And it kind of signals to us that there might be some sort of like this bar of attractiveness where, you know, if you meet this bar, people will pay attention to you. But if not, then they'll just, you know, ignore you. What we kind of thought about is that, you know, maybe having the dog, if you didn't meet that bar specifically, having that dog acts as a crutch that gets you to this acceptable level where people might actually start paying attention to you. So that's why we thought that that's why we found a relationship for people that are not conventionally attractive.
So when you talk about that meeting of that bar that maybe a dog will help some people get to when it comes to online dating, what is the psychology behind why people might think you're cuter when you're with a dog?
Yeah, so I think it comes down to some sort of signaling, right? So we know from we know like in the literature in human animal bond is that pets act as some form of like a social lubricant. So, you know, just think of like when you're walking in the park, for example, and you see a dog, like, are you more likely to just strike up a conversation with a stranger when they're by themselves
yeah.
or when there's a dog, right? So, you know, having that dog in there, like, it kind of like acts as an excuse to talk to someone, right? And we know that it is likely because in North America, we treat our pets as family members. We don't often treat them as a kind of, especially dogs and cats, we treat them as family members, not as a pet.
Right.
It's this idea that, you know, having a dog may signal potential mates that you might have a greater ability to connect and care for another being, right? So it signals some level of warmth and people might perceive you positively in, you know, in multiple social attributes such, you know, maybe you're more kind, you're more thoughtful, you're more sensitive, and possibly because people who have animals, who love animals, specifically dogs, are taught to have those attributes. So it ends up kind of just being of like, you know, it's perception, really. It's, you know, how people perceive you. Having that dog signals that you now, yeah, you might be more caring, and we want someone who's caring for a potential partner.
Have you given this phenomenon a name yet?
So it's not mine. I didn't name this per se, but there is this idea of dog fishing. So it's kind of like a reference to catfishing. You know, catfishing is basically people showing up to dates and then not looking like themselves. Mm-hmm. It might be someone else, right?
Yeah.
But here is this idea of using pets, specifically dogs, to attract dates. And this dog may or may not be yours.
When I read your research, I felt both seen and attacked because my partner and I met on a dating app and both of us had dogs in our pictures. Neither of them are our dogs. obviously, it worked in our case. But is this as effective for people if the dog in the picture isn't actually your dog at all?
I would use it with caution because the last thing that you want to happen is that, you know, you did all this work to try to, you know, impress someone or gave some sort of impression of you. And then you meet up in person, you go into a date, and then they ask you about the dog, you know, how's your dog doing? And you're like, that's actually not my dog. And then, you know, that kind of just unravels everything that you've done, right?
Yeah.
And if you get caught in a lie, now it might signal some sort of negative thing about you. Like, you know, if you're lying about this now, what else can you be lying in the future? So I'd say, like, you know, try to stick with your own pet, or at least, you know, if you're going to do it, put some sort of disclaimer in your profile.
Not my dog. You know how
it's hard to even rely on disclaimers because people might not have read them at all.
Right.
Well, if they don't read the disclaimer, then it took away your opportunity to potentially meet this person.
Right.
So, and similar with dogs. At least with dogs, I don't think it's much of an effect. But yeah, I'd say just stick with your, if it's your own dog, just stick with it. And if it's not, then at least be honest at some point during the conversation.
100%. Otherwise, you're going to end up going on a dog walk as a first date, trying to borrow your friend's dog. You mentioned just that idea of going for a walk. You're more likely to talk to someone when they have a dog versus when they're just on their own. And I think in Edmonton, too, we have so many dog parks and off-leash areas and neighborhoods full of dogs. Is there anything to suggest then that this approach works outside of the apps, too?
That's kind of like how I based this, my literature, my thesis, is that past research have shown that, for example, if a man, a man approaching someone and asking for their phone number, a woman for a phone number, they're more likely to get a person's phone number if they had a dog with them as opposed to them being alone. So it is this idea of social lubricant, right? It gives you some sort of way to kind of like get to someone without being so direct about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, you know, hey, well, you know, let's meet again. You know, like, you know, I want to see your dog again, right? It gives you an excuse, I say.
Yeah. The next level pro move is to have the dog ask for the girl's number. Yeah. I have to ask, since going about this research, do you have a dog in your dating profile?
I do not.
Have you thought about it?
Yeah. The thing is that despite me researching dating apps in general, I don't actually use them as much. but like, that's kind of like it. Like, I live vicariously through my friends' experiences in dating apps.
This Is Edmonton is a local podcast from CBC News. Our senior producer is Leslie Goldstone, and our technician this week is Colton Hutchinson. I'm Claire Bonnieman. Thank you so much for listening. This Is Edmonton is recorded on Treaty 6 territory, the traditional gathering place of the Cree, Soto, Blackfoot, Métis, Dene, and Nakota Sioux. Email us a question, comment, or a story idea at thisisyag@cbc.ca. You can leave us a rating or even a review wherever you download the show, and it really helps others discover the show too. And of course, you and all your friends can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.